you've seen that, right? They pray, which is a wonderful tradition. But we could be ostentatious in that too. I need to be seen by others that I am pious, that I am humble before God. True humility is self-forgetful. You don't think about yourself. There are times if we don't be discerning and watchful, we could become proud of our own humility, isn't it? And another clear thinking about humility is that sometimes, because lack of discernment, we think that the humble person is a weak person who's not sure about himself or herself. Like it's people who have a very low self-image. But true humility, if Jesus was describing himself as a humble, lowly person, true humility is not weak, faint-hearted, timid, fatalistic, nor cynical. That is, a genuinely humble person takes risks boldly and aspires passionately for the glory of God. Self-seeking ambition, on the other hand, is an aspiration tainted by pride. So David humbles himself before God. We ought to do that. Was there a time that you felt really grumpy? You felt, you know, without much reason. Maybe sometimes it's, you know, biorhythm and all that, you know, chemical things that we're going through in our brain. But I'm talking about the times that we felt nothing was really satisfying. And then people are annoying. And we think that our circumstances need to change. Under the breath, I have said this. Oh, can I get a break? Can I get a bright encouragement, positive things today? Kids need to listen to me well. Then when I come home, there are certain responses that I would look forward to. We're not even aware that our default mode is kicking in and taking all the contentment and rest. On the other end, do you remember a time that nothing changed in your surrounding, but as you are quieting your heart, and you're surrendering your stubborn self to the Lord, all of a sudden, you feel, and I have felt, peace. The quiet heart, quieted heart. David deliberately humbles himself before God. Secondly, and I'm sorry, before we go to the second thing, I found this anti-Psalm 131. It's David Paulison is a biblical counselor who has dealt with so many different people. So I think he wrote this psalm, anti-Psalm, to make a point, to bring the message of Psalm 131 even more clear. So listen to this. Paulison writes, "Self, my heart is proud. I am absorbed in myself, and my eyes are haughty. I look down on other people and I chase after things too great, too difficult for me. So, of course, I am noisy and restless inside. It comes naturally, like a hungry infant fussing on his mother's lap. Like a hungry infant, I'm restless with my demands and worries. I scatter my hopes onto anything and everybody all the time. So we ought to humble ourselves before God, like David. And secondly, David does to keep his heart quiet and humble, is David willingly trusts in and submits to God's weaning process for his maturity, for maturing his faith. In verse 2, I have calmed and quieted my soul, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child is my soul within me. I had to learn the basics of, you know, breastfeeding and all that as a man. You know, I've seen, you know, my wife done that for 4 times. We have 4 sons, obviously. But this, the more I reflected on and the more I meditated on the truth of those illustrations, it became so powerful. And David learned the secret of rest and contentment by humility. He has calmed his heart and quieted his conceited ambition. But by his humility has been also work of God as well. David had been weaned by God. We don't have to be a nursing mom to understand it. Just think about the weaning starts. Weaning starts with disappointment. Because the baby wants the mother's milk. That's not only the satisfying food, but that is a comfort as well. So when they, you know, baby infants don't get what they want on mother's arm, you know, mother's bosom, they cry, they fuss. We all seen that. As soon as we give them bottle, and even as a dad, the babies become satisfied and calm. But at certain time, certain month, or certain age, the weaning process is necessary so the baby becomes acceptable. Baby is learned to eat solid food. But initially, they don't know when the milk is not coming. The world is just turning upside down. There's such a disappointment, even anger. But it ends with contentment, isn't it? Now, think about this. What is the child being weaned from? Weaned from? Not from the mother. The mother's there. The baby is weaned from things on the mother. From the comfort of milk for solid, which is better food. When David said, like a weaned child with its mother, like a weaned child, my soul is within me, he said, I have learned to quiet my heart. The weaning process of our God is actually maturing my faith. When God keeps some things from us, takes away from us, it weans us from the world, from self. There are times that we think that God is sovereign. Yes, God, you're also good all the time. You're gracious. You're loving, right? So that means I've prayed and depended on you. That you should supply what I need. And it could be really good if you supply today, right now. But sometimes it doesn't come. Several weeks. Several months. Sometimes years. Now what's going on? Do you see David's heart being matured by sovereign God who is weaning him through this? What's the result of weaning? David, like baby, becomes child, weaned child, is content with mother. David finds his satisfaction and rest in God without things. I remember singing this hymn since my childhood. It didn't mean much back then, but as I get older, experience some really harsh disappointments in life. And I threw a tantrum to God. And then learning the weaning process of God. And I've learned to command, to preach to my heart the gospel that I need to hear. So this song, this hymn in 18th century by the name of Katharina von Schlegel is a German hymn writer. 1753-2 wrote this words. And there are several verses go on, but I took only the first two stanzas. Listen to this. Be still, my soul, the Lord is on thy side. Bear patiently the cross of grief and pain. Leave to thy God to order and provide. In every change, he is faithful. He faithful will remain. Be still, my soul, thy best, thy heavenly friend. Through thorny ways leads to a joyful end. The second stanza goes like this. Be still, my soul, thy God doth undertake to guide the future as he has the past. Thy hope, thy confidence, let nothing shake. All now mysterious shall be bright at last. Isn't that beautiful? Be still, my soul. The waves and winds still know his voice, who ruled them while he dwelt below. I know some of you felt a lot of frustration. The past several months. And there are some things that are not happening enough. God seems to have a deaf ear on your request. And it really discourages you from praying. or prayerful person. Or you haven't given up believing God. But if you're honest, there is a quiet disappointment, dissatisfaction in life, in God. Maybe this morning is the time that you need to be reminded about God's weaning process to mature your faith. Third and last thing that I see that David does to keep a quiet, humble heart is this. David gladly calls others to wait restfully and hope in the Lord out of his own experience and conviction. Verse 3, O Israel, the people of God, hope in the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. What do you notice? I notice this. The result of humility is the freedom from self-absorption, that everything's about you, which leads us to have a genuine concern for others. Like David, we will want to, not we are obligated, we feel responsibility, we feel burdened. But we will want to share our secret when we experience this quiet peace and contentment ourselves. The learned lesson of the weaning process to wait restfully for deeper satisfaction, to hope in God alone. And it's not just for the future. If you say, this time forth and forevermore, which means when to hope in God is, it begins now and lasts forevermore. I know all of you guys got my email about my brother, update on my brother. I want to be a little more honest and give you some things that I didn't write in the email. I sent the same content with friends and family all around us. 2 weeks ago, when I found out he was taken by ambulance, they had to call, my nephew had to call 911. I was scared to death. I couldn't get a hold of them for 2 hours. And certainly, if you remember, past year, what happened was, because of heart condition, he couldn't do any kind of heart surgery, or not even implement some kind of electric defibrillator to pace his heart rate, and something goes wrong, it will naturally shock him to be alive. He said no, because there is a chance, he could die on the table, surgery table, because his heart is that bad. It's, surgeons obviously be completely honest about all the warning. We were worried whether we're going through it or not, but he said no. God has sustained my life up until now. Over 10 years now, I will live on depending on him, that he will sustain every day. So that afternoon, when I got the text, maybe this is it. His heart will get affected. But I finally caught hold of her, and then I went over to the hospital the following day, and seeing him, not affect, his heart wasn't affected, but he was in a lot of pain. He couldn't breathe well. There's some things that I didn't write. Over 10 plus years, God has lengthened his life, sustained his life over and over. Will you do it again, Lord? So on Friday night, as I'm seeing him being discharged and going home, not perfect condition, he's still short of breath when he takes a few steps, and he has a pain on his side. He's still weak, long way to go. But hallelujah. And this is a time that I feel humbled by God. Watching my brother, teary eyes as we are, you know, he said, pray for me as we go, you know, the ambulance, you know, the paramedics, they came to take him gurney because of his condition. They would not let us take in our car. So we are waiting for the ambulance, EMTs to come up. And as I was praying for him, and my two nephews, his sons, and Soren and Silas, I mean, Soren and my wife Kate were there. He was teary, filled with gratitude. And he did come, you know, looked at me and said, thank you. Thank you. You know what I see? Rest and contentment. Even in his condition. Eugene Peterson writes some insightful things on this chapter. On this psalm, Peterson writes, but there is another way, the plain way of quiet Christian humility. We need pruning. Cut back to our roots. We learn this psalm and discover the quietness of the weaned child, the tranquility of maturing trust. The early stages of Christian belief are not infrequently marked with the miraculous signs and exhilarations of spirit. But as discipleship continues, the sensible comforts gradually disappear. For God does not want us neurotically dependent on Him, but willingly trustful in Him. And so He wins us. The purity of infancy will not be sentimentally extended beyond what is necessary. The time of weaning is very often noisy and marked by misunderstandings. But God hasn't abandoned you or me. And you haven't, and I haven't done anything wrong. You are being weaned. Sisters and brothers, not only personally, as we look at this weaning process as a church, God's community, and I see the weaning process of God is placed upon us. In our season, when we're in Olive Crest building, we had it good, so good. The rent free for 4 years and miracles of just things happening and the zoning laws and the people coming every Sunday And then upstairs training room with the round tables and having communal lunch every Sunday. And then as we moved here, it's like a wilderness. Pandemic hit, just strips us down and bare bone. Where is God who was abundantly just supplying over and over? What Peterson mentions is such a poignant, wise counsel for us. We need to be aware that God wins us. As I conclude, let's think about these three reflections on keeping a quiet heart. Number one, have I deliberately humbled myself before God without wishful, foggy thinking, Lord, make my heart humble. Have I humbled deliberately before God, myself, before God? Number two, have I willingly trusted in and submitted to God's weaning process for my maturing faith or maturing my faith? Number three, have I gladly called others to wait restfully and hope in the Lord out of my own experience and conviction? As we close, let's respond to God. And I'm going to allow just a moment for you to respond to God and think about these things. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that this very short psalm is full of the long process of our learning. And this morning we are grateful that you reminded us that our need for humbling ourselves before you, that we need right now willingly trust in and surrender to your weaning process so that our faith will be matured through that. Thank you also, Lord, that you would continually point us to the genuine concern for others, outsiders. But unless we have first-hand experience and conviction of the secret of rest and contentment, by true humility, we're going to come short to call others to do the same. But by faith this morning, we rest upon that and move forward as you increase our faith. And as your church, Lord, thank you. We acknowledge your hand in the weaning process that we have been going through and gladly submit to you. And now this morning, as we quieted our heart and humbled ourselves, provide the peace, we pray. Pray to provide rest because our awareness that you are enough for us. Thank you that you never left us. Whenever we feel like groaning and complaining and grumbling. And thank you for joy of knowing that you're deeply caring for us. Even the nursing mother forgets her baby, you will not forget us. We give you praise. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.